This is going to be short and sweet, mostly short, so. Okay, I guess first of all, anybody we need to pray for, you all know of? No? Everybody's good? Okay. Well, let's pray right quick before we start. Father, we just thank you for all the good things that you do for us. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for bringing Skeet back safely tomorrow. We just thank you, Lord, that you speak to us tonight. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, y'all, let's see how this goes. Okay, if you want to turn to 2 Timothy 3:2, we'll start out with. And when I read this, it might give you the wrong idea of what we're going to talk about, but I think you'll see how this all ties together. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:2, it says, "In the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." Okay, I think I counted up here about 19 things that will be predominant in the last days, which I think we're in the last days. Okay, all of these that are listed, they're all pretty stout. Out of all of these, do you think any one of these is more important than the other? No, I think this is, all of these are equal importance. There's not one of these that's not real important, and then there's one or two that may be really important. They're all equally important. And I think we could see all of this in the days that we're living, maybe more so of some things than others, but we'd have to be blind not to see that a lot of this is true today. Since we think all of these are equal, and none of these are unimportant, here's one I don't think that we would think about very often. One of these that talks about the last days, perilous times will come, and men would be unthankful. Would you think of that would be prevalent in the last days before the Lord returns? You know, you look at all these and they sound real terrible. They sound very serious. But being unthankful doesn't seem very important, does it, when you just read right through this? But especially, I think, in this day and time, people are not thankful. They're not thankful to the Lord as they should be, and we're not even thankful or appreciate each other. Okay, here's the other. This scripture is Luke 6:35. It has to do with this. "Love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil." The unthankful and the evil are here lumped together, right? So being unthankful is on the equal plane as being evil. I mean, that sounds pretty tough. Sounds pretty hard. But I think that's proven over and over in the scripture. What's the opposite of being unthankful? What? I can't hear you. What would be the opposite of being thankful? Okay. In the Old Testament, what's the greatest example of people being unthankful? Y'all don't know? There's a whole book about them. Okay. What about Moses and the children of Israel when they left Egypt? I think of another word that I think of when I think about when you're being unthankful or complaining is murmuring. You notice when the Israelites were leaving and they were fixed across the Red Sea and, you know, everybody was real happy and all of that kind of stuff. And then Pharaoh showed up. What's the first thing that the Israelites did when they knew Pharaoh was after them? They jumped on Moses, right? They weren't very thankful for anything, right? They murmured and complained against Moses. They weren't thankful for being liberated. They were afraid of being rounded back up, and so they were griping. Moses was the one that took the brunt of all their complaining. If you look all through Exodus, there were very few times that they were thankful for anything. They were always griping and complaining. Reminds me of people today, right? Everybody's complaining about something. Everybody's griping about something. Now they're murmuring. I think that murmuring sounds like a better description. We're not thankful or grateful for anything. And yet you look in the scripture how important being thankful is. The whole book of Psalms, I know there's probably over 100 references to giving thanks or being thankful. If you read through the Psalms, there's very few Psalms that don't have something in there about being thankful. And yet you look at what happened to Moses. They complained and griped to Moses. Well, the Red Sea was parted. They crossed over and the sea closed. And then they danced to the Lord and they were real happy and all that kind of stuff. Then what happened? 3 days later, what happened? Okay. There was no water, so what did they do? Of course, it was Moses' fault, right? It was always Moses' fault. They complained and murmured. They weren't thankful anymore. It was okay when they crossed the Red Sea and Pharaoh was gone and they were real happy and grateful. It only took 3 days before they were complaining to Moses. They weren't thankful for anything. I looked up some of these. There was a lot of places in here. I don't think from the time they left Egypt till the time they went into the Promised Land, they were constantly complaining and griping about everything. Okay, it says after the 3 days, they got the water, right? Moses gave them the water. Okay, then they got the manna. Were they thankful for the manna? Then what happened? They complained about it, right? Just like everybody when you're not happy with what you got. So they started complaining. Of course, they went to Moses. They told him they were sick of this manna. And so Moses went to the Lord. And so the Lord provided them with what? Y'all remember what happened? Look at the quail. Okay. He said, okay. The Lord said, okay, you want meat? I'll send it to you. And he said, I'll give you so much of it, it'll come out of your noses. That's probably about a nice way of saying it. I'll give you so much, you're going to puke it up. So then he sent quail, and he said they had more than their fill of quail. But that wasn't good enough either, was it? Okay. Okay. There was two times they were complaining about the water. They murmured against Moses, of course. And And then they murmured about the quail. That was too much, and they murmured and complained about that. They didn't give thanks for anything. Okay, when the enemies started showing up, what did they do? The Amalekites and all these other people who came after the Israelites after they crossed over, the same old thing, they were complaining, right? They weren't grateful for anything. Even when the spies brought back the good report from the land, well, not the good, there were 10 spies, two brought back the good report, and all the people heard about the giants and the other stuff that the other 8 spies said, that the people, that we were like grasshoppers in their sight, but it was a land filled with milk and honey. What did the people do again? They murmured. They murmured against Moses again, saying, you brought us out here to die. We had all this good stuff in Egypt, and you took us out of there. They still weren't thankful for anything, right? It was constant complaining. And Moses got pretty sick of it. As far as I could tell, they complained all the way till they got to the end of the promised land. And I'm sure after they got in there, if I read the scripture more, there was more complaints. Okay, in the New Testament, there are several, okay, Paul wrote a number of books. Okay, in Thessalonians and in Colossians, in several of the books he wrote, the first chapter nearly always Paul gave thanks to God. In every one of his books, that's one of the first things he did, was to give thanks to God. I don't think there was ever a record of Paul ever complaining or murmuring about anything after he was saved. Okay, now I talked about the griping and complaining in the Old Testament. There's a story in Luke that's probably the most prominent story about Thanksgiving in the New Testament. Okay, Luke 17, starting at 12. This is real familiar to y'all. It's about the 10 lepers. Let me see if I got the right place here. 17, 12. Now it happens they went to Jerusalem. He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. Y'all know what happened after that? No. No. Okay. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them out of the 10, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Okay, the Jews hated the Samaritans, right? Evidently, this group of lepers must have been mostly Jews, but there was a Samaritan with them. So they knew what to do when Jesus told them to go to the priest and show themselves, because in the Old Testament, the law told them how to, have their healing verified. It was going to the priest, and he would verify their healing. So 10 were healed. Only one came back. There's no record of them saying anything, except for the one Samaritan that came back. He was the only one that gave thanks for his healing. It says here, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And I looked up some of the commentaries on this where Jesus said, Your faith has made you well. He got more of a blessing than the other nine who didn't return to thank him. One of the commentaries said that he was actually saved when Jesus said, Your faith has made you well. He meant that his faith had saved him. Another one said that the lepers, when they went, it doesn't say anything about them being restored. They were healed. But it didn't say anything about them having body parts replaced or anything like that, which, you know, with leprosy, that's what happened. You lost body parts and stuff like that. But that guy said that he received everything back that he had lost. So he did receive an extra blessing because he returned and gave thanks. Okay, I mentioned Paul in all the letters that he mentioned giving thanks. There's the scriptures that talk about no matter what, let's see if I can find that and make sure I get it right. Oh, yeah, okay. You know about the scripture that says, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Does it say give thanks for everything or not? What does it say? In everything give thanks. That doesn't mean you have to give thanks for evil things or things bad that happen to you. But even in those circumstances, you're still supposed to do what? Give thanks, right? There's a scripture here that I like to use a lot that I think of. It says, the Lord, He daily loadeth us with benefits, which means every day we are blessed whether we think we are or not. Like that scripture that says, in everything give thanks. It doesn't matter if the situation is bad or anything like that. You still give thanks because the scripture says, He daily loadeth us with benefits. No matter how bad things are or what the circumstances are, we're still supposed to do what? Give thanks, right? Every day, for everything. In everything give thanks, right? That's the will of God. That we give thanks, that we don't murmur or complain like the Egyptians did. But I think Christians are sometimes the worst people for complaining. I mean, everything looks bad, so we complain about it and think, you know, what in the world is going to happen? And so and so is doing this, and this politician has done that, and you know, the world's going, what do they say, going to hell in a handbasket? In a hazmat. So even in those times, we're still supposed to give thanks to God, right? For everything, right? That He's done for us. You know, I think we forget as Americans, and if you've ever been overseas, you might realize this. I mean, we ought to give thanks every day that we've got electricity, that we've got water, that we've got food to eat, or you get up in the morning, you don't even have anything to eat. You don't have any electricity. And you have to walk 5 miles to get water. I mean, there are so many things we give thanks for every day that far outnumber our problems. Do y'all like to be around somebody who's always complaining? Do y'all know people who complain all the time? Maybe it's us that complain too much. You know, it's just like the Egyptians, murmuring. They murmured about everything. Anytime something went wrong, they went to Moses and they complained and murmured. I think we're guilty of that as Christians. We don't realize, even in the worst of times, how good we've got it. So we just I think if we gave more thanks, we wouldn't be complaining as much. It's hard to complain and it's hard to give thanks at the same time. Can you do that? I don't think you can do that. I don't know if I call it complain. I think murmuring is a better word for it. You know, I think we excuse the Christian sin, and I think that's one of the worst ones. Like it says in the last days, these things, that list of about 20 things would be prevalent, and being unthankful is one of them. And I don't think we want to be that way as Christians. No matter how bad things be, he daily loadeth us with benefits. And he says that in everything to give thanks. No matter what the circumstances are, how bad it looks or anything, we're still supposed to give thanks. And there's a lot of scriptures here too, but yeah, here's a good scripture. Colossians has a lot to say about giving thanks. Paul wrote, there are several scriptures in here about giving thanks. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, to give thanks. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Another one in Colossians 2, 6 to 7 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding it with thanksgiving. So I said, Paul was always really careful in his letters to mention thanksgiving. Here's another one that's pretty similar to the one about in everything give thanks. Philippians 4:6, I think all of us know that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it says here in this scripture again, in everything, give thanks. You don't have to be thankful for everything, but you give thanks in everything, in every circumstance, in every situation. We are still supposed to give thanks. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says about the same thing as Philippians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay, this is another one says, it talks about in everything give thanks. It also says to rejoice always. No matter what the situation or the circumstances are. I think we live in a time when everybody thinks they're entitled to something. And they complain when they don't get it. They're not thankful for everything, everyday blessings that we have. You know what, are we really entitled to anything? I mean, do we have everything coming to us? We think we do sometimes, right? I think that's really prevalent today, that if we would remember the scriptures, we would stop complaining so much, because that's mostly what you hear, when conversations start. I mean, you're kind of leery about asking somebody how they are, because they may tell you. And it's not always this. But no matter what the situation, how dark things look, or circumstances, the scripture says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us, right? So I know I'm guilty. I think we examined ourselves. We all have a tendency to want to complain or gripe. And remember what it says in the last days, a list of all those sins and stuff. But the fact we're griping and complaining and not giving thanks that we're included in that group, it's not just a little sin, it's a big sin. So I guess I could preach to myself as much as anybody that we do need to give thanks in everything. It doesn't have to be for everything, but God works all things for our good. And we are blessed every day, whether we realize it or not. We are blessed, no matter what we're going through. So, y'all have commented. Well, yeah, we do. We take it all for granted. I think Americans are probably the worst about that. We have the least to gripe about. And we murmur probably more than anybody. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's really, we really have nothing to gripe about. Really and truly, we didn't. And I think about Stephen when he was martyred. He didn't curse anybody or anything. And yet he told him he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And I think what martyrs have gone through, and I know there's records, it's not in the scripture, when people were being burned at the stake for their faith, that even then, they didn't curse anybody or anything. So, that's what should encourage each other, not to complain, to be grateful. It does make a difference on the way we live, the way we act, and the way we talk. So if you don't have anything, we'll end with prayer and we go home early. Lord, we do thank you that you do daily, Lord, with us with benefits. We thank you, Lord, that we have so much to be grateful for, that we'll remember to thank you for all the good things, Father, that you have given to us, and that we would thank each other, Lord, for the things that we do for each other, that we would remember kindnesses and all the things that people have done for us, and to remember that and be sure to thank people, Lord, that would not be as the Israelites were, constantly murmuring and complaining about every situation, and they did not realize how blessed they really were. We just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for a blessing on everybody that's here, for a safe trip home for Skeet. Just to remember, Lord, that we give thanks to you in everything. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your patience.